Mark, Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2. Seen a lot of families who will fight and argue over things left behind, and when a mom or dad passes on, all that stuff's going to pass away, going to be burned up, going to corrode and waste and fade, but a heritage is something that is invaluable and it is lasting. And thank the God for godly mothers and for my godly mom who instilled in me and put the fear of God in me and taught me and instructed me, and for a wife who does the same for our children. I want to welcome again all of our moms. Moms, the longer they're a mom and the more children they have that knack, that ability to be sweet and to be subtle. A mother of four said to me just a moment ago, recently had surgery, and I said, "It's good to have you back in the service." She said, "Yes." She said, "Preacher, I'm doing better. I just can't sit very long," which means we don't need to be here very long. You know, some of you guys are a little bit slower catching on than I am. So we got the hint. It is Mother's Day, and understand, good to have some young people here for in town for Mother's Day, and good to have, glad to have you in our services here this morning. Glad you could be with us. Titus chapter 2. Let's stand, shall we? Our reverence for the Word of God as we read. I want to speak about a pattern of a mother. The verse word I'm going to use is really in verse 7 when he begins to talk to young men. But if you look at the reading, it's also indicative of verses 2 down to verses 5 as well. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate. And we're looking in Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now verse 6, he says there's a word likewise. In verse 7, he's talking about a pattern. And so he's saying, likewise, as the women are to be a pattern, you also are to be a pattern. I want to speak this morning about the pattern of a mother and just mention some things very quickly from this passage of Scripture. And trust will be a blessing and encouragement, especially to our moms this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this day, Lord, for what it represents. Again, we can never repay. We can never give back that which is owed to our moms for the love, the devotion, the labor, the investment that they have made in us. Lord, I pray that somehow today that you would convey that love to them that we are humanly incapable of conveying. May you convey it to them. Lord, I pray especially, Lord, for those who have lost mothers recently, and maybe this is perhaps their first year without their mom. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just flood their hearts and their minds, Lord, with the memories and the principles that they were taught and instilled in them. May you encourage their hearts today in a very special way. Bless our time together. May it be pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Mothers are unique and have unique personalities and unique gifts and just cannot be duplicated. Two little boys were wandering around in the house one day, and they wandered into their parents' bathroom. One little boy saw a scale, and he said, "What's that?" And he said, "I don't know, but don't step on it, because every time mama steps on it, it makes her scream." So, we was at my mom's house. I'm going to tell a story of my mom because of my mom's health issues with her heart and fluid building up. Her heart's about 35%. It has been for probably 6 or 7 years now. So she's working about 35% of her heart. Because of all the fluid buildup, they have to regulate that very carefully. And so that has to do with her weight as well. And so she has a special set of scales that are somehow, I don't know, connected to her tablet and goes to the internet. She has to report that on a daily basis. The other day she had decided to splurge a little bit. She didn't report for 2 or 3 days, and the nurse called and said, "Miss Smith, is everything okay?" And she said, "Is everything okay with your scales, your tablet?" She said, "Well, we did have a tornado recently." She didn't say how recent. She just said recently. We're trying to evade that a little bit. I want to take just a moment and talk about the pattern of a mom. the pattern of a mom. Notice number one, first of all, in our passage here, we find the design of a mother. The design of a mother. In Genesis, we find that God created, He spoke most things into creation. He took the dust of the earth and then made man. But then He took even steps beyond that and had a specific plan for a woman. The design of a mother is something special. It's not like anything else God created. It's not like anything else that God could put together. And oftentimes we see the design of motherhood, and it is not an easy task. I'm reminded of, when I think about a pattern, my mom used to sew quite a bit when we were kids, and many of you did that for your children, and your mom did it for you. And I remember my mom taking those patterns out, and she'd lay them out on the kitchen table, and she'd cut, and she'd follow that pattern, and every pattern was unique in design. Then, of course, had to be mended a little bit and tailored to the specific size. And God did that with motherhood. And there's a pattern that I want to look at this morning. That pattern, I got to say to you, first of all, has a design. It is a perfect design. Sometimes a pattern, if you watch it, I used to watch my mom, and she'd follow that pattern. Sometimes that pattern can be overwhelming. I would look at that pattern, she'd fold that thing a certain way. Man, I'd be lost in about 30 seconds. And that pattern sometimes can be overwhelming. And sometimes the responsibility of a mom and motherhood can be an overwhelming thing. Sometimes not only is that pattern overwhelming, but sometimes that pattern can be confusing and difficult. Boy, well, the right amount of toughness and the right amount of tenderness at the right time. But it's a design. The thing that God gave a mom and the ability to mother children is a very unique thing. It's a thing designed by God. Man, there's no way man could come up with the concept and the abilities and the wisdom for a mom. There's just no way. That's something that God designed and created. And God took from Adam a rib from his side, and God created the woman, and God created and instilled in that woman a unique ability and a gift and a design to mother a child, and not just to give birth, but to give instruction and guidance. And a motherhood's job is never over. It doesn't matter if they're 2 weeks or if they're how old they get. Boy, that motherhood never goes away. That gift, that ability, that care, that desire never goes away. Think about those and pray for a couple of our moms. I think about Miss Linda Gill, who's out sick this morning. Sister Nell Schofield, I understand, had to leave a few moments ago, not feeling well. I was thinking about Brother McDaniel. With Brother McDaniel some on Thursday, and he was telling me he was going to see his mom. I think his mom is either 96 or 92. Is that right? 90 years of age. And he said, "No, Brother Keith." He said, "It's funny." He said, "Mama still calls me Little Dale." Now, if you've seen Dale McDaniel lately, it's been a while since he's been little. But to Mama, he's always a Little Dale. That's just the way motherhood goes. And we see the design of motherhood. Don't you notice number two very quickly, the distinction of motherhood. The distinction of it. When God made mothers, He made something unique. He made something, again, that man cannot duplicate, that cannot be replicated. God made man out of dirt and spoke everything else into existence. But when God made the woman, He made her unique. He made her distinct. She is distinct, first of all, in her role. There's no other role so designed in Scripture as the role of a mother. And God gives specific detail in the book of Proverbs especially, and in other passages of Scripture. There's no more examples given in all of Scripture than examples of motherhood. There's a lot of mothers that we could preach about this morning. I didn't want to narrow in on one, but there's so many. I think about the faith and the prayer life of Hannah. I think about the faith of Sarah. I think about the courage of Rahab. And often I think about the commitment of Naomi and all these mothers in Scripture that we use greatly. I think about Deborah, who was a great mother, and all these mothers in Scripture that God used, and yet they are unique, and there's a unique role that God designed for them. It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And what a role that is given to a mom. God gave mothers the toughness to go through childbirth. Someone has said children were given in order, the mom had the first child, then the dad had the second child, no family would have more than 3 children. Because moms will go through that several times, not us whipping men. God gave them a toughness to be able to endure childhood. But God gave them a tenderness to have the ability to cry at someone else's wedding that they've never met. They can watch a wedding on TV and bawl like a baby. They have that tenderness, and yet they have that toughness. They have God instilled with them the insight that God didn't give men. Every mom has eyes in the back of their head that are camouflaged. You can't quite see them, but they're there. They have supersonic hearing. They can imagine things and know things that nobody else knows. If you any movie, any photograph, any TV show you've ever seen of an interrogation room, they're all the same. Every one of them are exactly the same. There's a metal table, there's two metal chairs, and then there's that big light hanging down right in the center of the room. And that light is supposed to illuminate, I guess. I think they need to redesign the whole thing. Forget the metal chairs, forget the metal table, forget the light. What they really need in the room is wallpaper. They need this kind of wallpaper. Help me out if you would, Josh. They need this. They need the piercing eyes of a mother. Bring that criminal in, that suspect in. Get a picture of their mom and say, "This now, you're going to tell us the truth?" Those eyes, because I want to tell you, the eyes of a mother can get to the truth real quick. They can discern some things. There's the role of a mother. She's unique in that. And so there's a role. Her role is distinct. Number two, her rank is distinct. Not only her role is distinct, but her rank is distinct. Think about this for just a moment. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he would later give instructions to his disciples about going and preaching, but he only gave one instruction at the cross. That instruction was to a disciple by the name of John, and that instruction was, "My son, behold thy mother." Now think about that for just a moment. The last instruction that Jesus Christ gave before his death was for someone to take care of his mother. You know what that tells me? That mom outranked everybody else and every other responsibility. I want to tell you, that is the level that God elevates motherhood to. There's a distinct role. There's a distinct rank that is not given to anyone else. Jesus' last command was for John to take care of his mother. An officer one day during the Revolutionary War was going through the countryside that was short on horses in the army, and he came across a plantation. And boy, he's seen some of those beautiful horses he's ever seen in his life. They were well groomed. They were muscular. They were designed to endure and be good horses. And man, it was beautiful horses he'd ever seen. He stopped the guy that was plowing behind the horses, and he said, "Hey, I need those horses. The general wants those horses." And he looked at him and nodded his head and kept on plowing. He got back to the end of the road. He said, "You don't understand." He said, "We must have those horses for the army. We've got it." He said, "You got to see the missus. You got to see the missus." And he pointed up to the mansion down on the south end of the property. And so the officer made his way down to the mansion and went and knocked on the door. And a lady came to the door, and he said, "Sir," he said, "Ma'am, I'm here on behalf of the government, and we need horses in the army. And I've seen your horses out in the field. They're exactly what we need. They're prime horses. We need those horses, and we need them in the army." She said, "I'm sorry, but those horses are for me and my crops, and I can't gather my crops if I don't have my horses, then you can't take them." She was rather emphatic about that. And the officer said, "Well, ma'am, you understand, this is an order from the general." And she said, "Who's the general?" And swelling with pride, he said, "General George Washington." And she said, "Well, sonny boy, you go back to General George and you tell George that I don't care what General George says, he's not getting his mama's horses." Well, I'll tell you, mama had outranked once again. Mama has a rank, and there's a distinction that God gave mother, the distinction in a role. Boy, there's a role that only a mama can fill. Moms, I hope you understand, I know most of you do, the responsibility you have to instill inside those children. We'll look at that in just a moment. To instill the truth, as Brother Mark sang about just a moment ago, about that heritage. What a responsibility. What a role. That role is distinct. No authority, no amount of business sense, no clout, nothing in life, no type of entertainment can replace what you were required and given the ability to instill in your children. You can teach them what no one else can teach them. I read a statistic recently that even today, and you say, preacher, things change. Well, our culture has changed, and our kids are facing so many different things, and that is all that is true. But can I say to you, it is still, they say that when given, taking a poll in high schools, that the number one influence in the home is still the mother by 80%. I understand the outside influences are great. I understand that. And I understand they're more prevalent and more powerful than they've ever been before. But still, the guiding influence of the home is still a godly mother. That's a role that no one else can fill. And so there's a distinction in his role. It's distinct in his rank. Also, it's distinct in his respect. Notice what the Bible said in Psalm 35. In verse 14, the psalmist David said, I behave myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bow down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. There's a respect that mothers ought to receive as beyond any other respect that is given. When the psalmist David wanted to describe his grief, when he wanted to describe his pain, when he wanted to describe his hurt, he said, the greatest thing I can describe is that when a man mourns for his mother, there's no greater hurt, there's no greater void, there's no greater emptiness than when a person is missing their mother. David said that's the respect that a mother ought to get. A mother is distinct. That design that God put in the scripture and for a moms to follow and for moms to be, there's a design. There's a distinction. She's not like anyone else. God made her unique. God made her special. And so she's unique in her role. She's unique in her rank. She's unique in her respect. But not only do we see the design of a mother, we see the distinction of a mother. But notice number three, we see the duty of a mother. Notice if our text, if you would please, Titus chapter 2, and notice verse 3, that the aged women likewise. Let me stop there for just a moment and define what aged meant. Okay, it's not the aged that we think of. Aged in this culture meant simply one whose children, who had at least one child out of the home. Understand, in that culture, they got married at an early age, so it was very reasonable for an aged woman, according to this definition, to be in their 30s. And so we're not talking about aged women in the fact of a number of years, but we're talking about their season. They have children that are out of the home. They're a seasoned mom. They've raised children. So that could be, again, that could be someone in their 30s. So when he says an aged woman in verse 3, he's talking about someone whose child or whose children have left the home. Notice verse 3, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not getting much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. So we see the duty is to teach their children and to, notice verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Two things you're supposed to do here. Number one, in Titus chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, he said, I will therefore that the young women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Twice in 1 Timothy and again in Titus, he used the phrase that the word of God not be blasphemed. Can I say to you moms that moms have the power and the ability to make sure that the word of God is revered? Your lifestyle, your spirit, your love, your devotion, your teaching in verse 4, they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, love their children. The list goes on in verse 5 and verse 3, the description. And so there's the duty of a mom. Someone has said, you know you're a mom when you arrive or wake up at 5:30 in the morning, you vacuum, dust, sweep, you do the washing, the drying, the loading, the unloading, the shopping, the cooking, the driving, the flushing, the ironing, the sweeping, the picking up, the changing sheets, the changing diapers, the bathing, the helping with homework, paying bills, budgeting, clipping coupons, folding clothes, putting to bed, dragging out of bed, brushing, chasing, buckling, feeding, swinging, playing baseball, bike riding, pushing trucks, cuddling dolls, rollerblading, basketball, football, catch, bubbles, sprinkles, slides, nature walks, color crafts, jumping rope, plus raking, trimming, planting, edging, mowing, gardening, painting, and walking the dog. Get up at 5, go 30, go to bed at 10, not have time to eat, sleep, drink, or go to the bathroom, and still manage to gain 10 pounds. Then you are a mom. Someone said she cooked the breakfast first of all, washed the cups and plates, dressed the children and made sure the socks all had mates, combed their hair and made their bed, sent them out to play, gathered up their motley toys and put some books away, dusted chairs and mopped the stairs, ironed an hour or two, baked a jar of cookies in a pie, and then made a pot of stew. The telephone rang constantly. The doorbell did the same. The youngster fell and stubbed his toe, and then the laundry came. She picked up books and mended socks and polished up the stove. Then when her husband came at 6, he said, "You know, I really envy you. It must be nice to sit at home without a thing to do." By the way, his funeral will be Saturday afternoon if you'd like to attend that. Someone said the joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all the children have finally gone to bed. That's the joy of motherhood. That may be true. There's a distinction of a mother. There's a design of a mother. There's a duty of a mother. And every mother in here knows that that duty never ends. From sun up to sun down, and when the sun goes down, there's still stuff to be done. It'll still be there tomorrow. Mother's job is never done. Notice very quick in number 4. Notice the dread of a mother. The dread of a mother. I don't know if there's anything more discouraging or more hurtful than to see the dread of a mother. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Proverbs 17, verse 25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and a bitterness to her that bare him." Proverbs 29, verse 15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Now, isn't that interesting, ladies? A child that is left to himself, that is not given discipline, that is not given instruction and correction, brings his mother to shame. Proverbs 19, verse 26, "He that wastes his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame." While there's the design for motherhood, there's certainly a distinction in motherhood. The man can never even begin to fulfill the role of a mother. And she's distinct in her role, in her rank, and in her respect. Then there's the duty of a mother, which never ends, but there's also the dread of a mother. That's why mothers have a right to worry. Doesn't matter how old you get or how successful you become, mothers are going to worry. As long as there are mothers, they are going to worry. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've accomplished or how successful you are in life or what your rank is, that's mama's job. They are going to worry. But then there's a dread beyond that worry. And that dread is those who's they've given instruction and wisdom to and guidance, and they've tried to guide, as the Bible says in 1 Timothy about guiding the house, they've tried to guide them, and yet they refuse that correction. They refuse that instruction, that wisdom. That's the dread of a mother. But don't you notice very quickly the last thing, the delight of a mother. Look in Proverbs chapter 23, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 23, I want you to see this passage of Scripture. There's a delight of a mother. There's nothing, I don't believe, that can be more honoring than the position of a motherhood. What great role that has such impact and always will have impact. Proverbs chapter 23, notice verse 24 and verse 25. Proverbs 23 and verse 24, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." You all know Proverbs 31, verse 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." There's the joy, there's the delight of a mother. Circuit riding preacher was out one day and lived in a very barren, desolate area. And when gone to a meeting, he came back and someone had given him 4 apples. He had 3 sons at home, and so he took those apples home, gave them to his wife, and she gave each one of the boys an apple. And took the other apple and set it up on the counter. And they knew mom loved apples. And each one of the boys got one. Later, mom took the lone apple that was up on the mantle and took it off and cut it into 3 slices gave it to the boys. Later that afternoon, they were talking to their dad, and they said, "Dad, what's wrong with Mom?" And she said, he said, "Well, nothing's wrong with Mom. Well, Mom loves apples, and Mom didn't eat her apple. She took her apple and divided it into thirds and gave us her. What's wrong? Is she sick? Does she not feel good? Mama loves apples." And the preacher reminded the boys, "Mom loves apples, but she loves boys better than she does apples." There's a delight and a joy that a mom receives from seeing her children succeed, from seeing them do well, from seeing them obtain what God has for them in their life. There's a delight there. Or Hershiser, who used to pitch for the Los Angeles Dodgers, the great Christian. It was in the World Series. He would be later be named the MVP of the World Series. It was in the last game. It was going out to the ninth inning. The cameras captured him standing in the dugout, going out before the ninth inning, standing in the corner of the dugout by himself, talking to himself. Or it seemed talking to someone, and it appeared he's obviously talking to himself. Later, a month or two later, he was on the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. After the World Series, as the players make their rounds and talk about their accomplishment, being named the MVP. And so Johnny Carson asked him, he said, "I noticed," and he showed the clip, showed a picture of Oral Hershiser in the dugout before the ninth inning started, quoting something or reciting something or saying something to himself. He said, what were you saying? He said, "Well," he said, "actually, I was not saying anything. I was actually singing." And he said, "You were singing?" And he said, "Yes, I was singing." And he said, "I didn't know you were a musician. I didn't know you played. Didn't know you sang." He said, "What were you singing?" He said, "Well," he said, "it really is not important." He said, "Well, no, I don't know. What were you singing?" He began to encourage him. And he said, "Well, it was a song that my mother taught me." And all of a sudden, Johnny Carson took a solemn look. And he said, "It was a song that your mother taught you." And he said, "Yes, it was." He said, "Every time I face a situation that I think may be overwhelming, I think maybe I cannot endure, maybe I'm not qualified for, I begin to think about the one song that my mother taught me as a child. And every time I face a situation like that, I sing that song and I'm given the confidence and the strength that I need to keep going." And Johnny Carson said, "Okay, now you've got my attention. I have to know, what song were you singing?" Oral Hershiser, and he began, and by this time the crowd, the audience began to chant, "Sing, sing, sing, sing." And so Oral Hershiser on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson began to sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." He said, "I'm reminded that my strength comes not in my ability, not in my talent, not in what I've been taught, not what I've learned, but my ability and everything I have comes from God and from God alone." Johnny Carson, maybe for the first time, sat in silence as the wisdom and the teaching of a godly mother made the whole world sit still and take notice. I'm talking about the delight of a mother. There's a pattern, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 in verse 7, "In all things show thyself a pattern." May I say, remind every mom that God has a pattern for motherhood. Oftentimes, I remember my grandmother would knit, and she would knit. I meant to bring one out this morning, I forgot, but every mother in here, I dare say every mother in here has at least one pot holder that you receive from a fifth grader or third grader or first grader at school that was knit by one of your two. We've got a number of them at the house. I remember watching my grandmother do that crocheting and knitting, and she would turn it upside down. And I'd go by and look, and it seemed like just strands going everywhere, and it was confusing, and there was no order, there was no picture. I mean, it just looked like a mass of yarn just kind of thrown together. And then she would take it and flip it over. And boy, you saw that design. And mothers sometimes, all they see for a while is what we call the underside of the tapestry. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes it seems like it's out of control. Sometimes it seems like it's chaos and confusion. But I want to tell you, when God turns it over, there's a pattern that God has allowed you to weave that no one else could do. God has a design for mom. He gave mom a distinction. There's a duty. For many moms, there's a dread, and then there's a delight. For that young person, that adult who grows up to be a young person who grows up to be an adult, in Proverbs 23, verse 25, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And I trust that each one of us will cause our moms to be able to rejoice. The toughest job, the Peace Corps said, the toughest job you'll ever love. Well, I say that is inaccurate. I say motherhood is the toughest job. That seems overwhelming, but moms wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. You know why? Because God designed them for that. And may we honor them for that on this day.